Good to be with you today. Appreciate the attendance of everyone today. You know, there's a couple of places in the New Testament that we read about things pertaining back to the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, talks about that. Also in Romans 15 and verse 4, it talks about the things that were written aforetime, or written for our learning, that patience and comfort are scriptures, that we might have hope. So when we look into the scriptures, even the Old Testament scriptures, we can see things that God did, and we can learn from God's nature, how he dealt with the Israelite nation, and we can learn things that even helps us today to live the kind of life that the Lord would have us to live. If you look in the book of Joshua, I want to look at some Old Testament scriptures this morning, and then we're going to go into the New Testament a little later on and look at some things that applies to us. But back in Joshua, the first chapter, in verse 1 beginning, it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I will give to them, even the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness to this Lebanon, even unto this great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and be of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all according to the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall be not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest." You notice the things that the Lord here talks to Joshua about. Moses is now dead, but he tells him not to fear, that he was going to be with him just like he was with Moses. And you notice he said to remember all of the things that he had commanded in the law, to do them, and how they would prosper if they did that. They had to do that, and he said also, don't turn to the right or the left. In other words, do exactly what God wanted them to do. Now on over in the 8th chapter of Joshua, I want you to notice in verses 34 and 35. And he says afterward, he will read all the words of the law, the blessings and cursings according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded which Joshua read not before all the congregation, with all the women and the little ones and the strangers that were living among them. So Joshua, he reads all of this word of the law that Moses had commanded, that God had given him. Notice on over in the 21st chapter of Joshua, Joshua 21, and starting in verse 43. "And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according as he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord God had spoken unto the house of Israel, all came to pass. I want you to just think about that a little bit. As God gives the law to Moses, and we know that during the reign of Moses and whenever he led the people, as long as these people followed God, he blessed them. He gave them manna as they were in the wilderness. He later, they wanted meat. He gave them quail. He gave them water. He provided, if you go back in scriptures, you find that the soles of their shoes didn't even wear out. Their clothes didn't wear out in 40 years. God provided everything. And now as Joshua takes over in the place of Moses, he tells him and makes this promise, you know, you command all that, just like Moses did, and I'll bless you and I'll multiply your seed sown. And you know, we are thinking today, what does Matthew 6:33? He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added unto you. He just talked about the food and the raiment, what they would put on and what they would eat. He said, don't worry about these things. So, you know, we learn from looking at these Old Testament examples of what went on. Now, notice on over in the 23rd chapter of Joshua, and starting in verse 9 here. And it says, for the Lord hath driven out before you great nations and strong. But as for you, no man has been able to stand before you unto this day. One man shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, He it is that fighteth for you, as He has promised you. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Now, what do we do if we love God? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14, verse 15. We have to realize that love is not just an empty word, but it is doing something. In verse 12, he said, else, if ye do in any wise go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they to you, know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until ye perish from this good land which the Lord your God hath given you. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Notice in verse 16, when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you, and ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he had given you. You notice in all that he talks about, one man would chase 1,000. God fought their victories for them. God gave them everything that they needed. He gave them land. He provided everything. And we can learn examples from this. But I want you to notice that whenever we get into the book of Judges, what happens? In the book of Judges, in the second chapter, and let's just start at verse 1. And the angel of the Lord came up from Gidgal to Bochim and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And ye shall make no leagues with the inhabitants of this land. Ye shall throw down their altars, but ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. And when Joshua had let the people go, and the children of Israel went every man unto his inheritance to possess the land, and the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua, the son of Nun, served the Lord, died being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of the inheritance of Timnath-Heres, and in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of Gashash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And notice this. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, and yet not the works which he had done. You notice how Joshua had led the people. God had promised to be with him just like he was with Moses. He was a powerful man. God had told him he would not forsake him. He would be with him. And you notice that these people, they served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And after that, all of the days of the elders and the ones that went. But then there arose another nation. I mean, another generation that knew not the Lord. Tells us something about the importance of parents teaching children. And us teaching as we go. And for people to know and understand about the Lord and what he has done. This next generation, they didn't know the Lord. And they was only two generations removed from Joshua. Look how fast this happened. Their apostasy is described. Notice in verse 11. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people. They were round about them and bowed themselves unto them and provoked the Lord to anger. And they forsook the Lord and served Baal and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of the spoilers, and the spoilers they sold them into the hands of the enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said, and the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed." You see, over and over, as they served the Lord, did his will, God blessed them. One man run 1,000. God blessed them with food. He gave them everything that they need. But then they do the very thing that God tells them not to do. They be unfaithful to God. They look round about the nations round about them. They start serving them. And they follow after these idols and these false gods. Many times the Christians today, they forget about the truth of God's Word. They start looking out at the denominations round about them. And, oh, that looks good. And they start following. They start adopting things out of things that is not according to God's will. And they get in bad condition because of that. But you know, after this, God sends them judges to try to straighten them out. That shows God's love. God is always wanting people, if we do stray away from the Lord, he wants us to come back. So God, he sends them judges out to try to bring them back. And notice in the 16th and 17th verse, "Nevertheless, the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, and they went a-whoring after other gods and bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandment of the Lord, but they did not so." They just couldn't do it. They seemed like they just could not remain faithful after God had sent judges to them, and then they still didn't want that. And you know, this pattern went on and on and on. You can go all the way through the New Testament, and you see these things happening. Look in the 6th chapter and in verse 1, and notice just these different points down through here. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Notice in the 8th chapter and in verse 33. And it tells us here, and it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baalah Rith their god. Notice in the 13th chapter and in verse 1. 13 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistine 40 years. God lets them be taken by the Philistines and captured for 40 years. It looks like they were to learn their lesson. But they don't. And even today, people don't learn their lesson. It seems like they just can't commit themselves to follow after God and to be faithful to God, knowing that God promises to bless us, to take care of us, to provide for us. That don't mean that we're not going to have sickness. We live in a world. We live in this world with flesh and blood, and we are compassed round about with sin. And we see things, and we have tragedies happen. We have death, and we have sickness, all of these things. But that don't mean we give up on the Lord. Because guess what? God never told us that we wouldn't have sickness. God never told us that we wouldn't have loved ones pass away. God never said that we wouldn't have things go on in this life. He said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. We put God first. He's promised us eternal rest. He's promised us eternity. And that's what we work for. That is what we're looking forward to. That's why we have to be faithful unto the Lord and not give up. But we see that their apostasy and the characteristics of this apostasy, they were ignorant of God's ways. And what did they do? They copied the gods round about them. They did what was right in their own eyes. Judges 17, notice in that passage, Judges 17 and in verse 6, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Don't we see that today? I was reading Brent back at the back Wednesday night, a copy I got into my Bible out of the newspaper, where this preacher said, you need to find a place to worship that fits you personally so that you can be a participant and not a spectator. In other words, do what's right in your eyes. Do what feels good to you. You know, we may not understand why God commands certain things. I doubt very seriously that God, that Noah, when he was commanded to build an ark, thought that was probably the silliest thing he ever heard. To build a big old boat like this out on dry land. But nevertheless, he believed God and he obeyed God. We have to serve God with all our heart and put Him first. But we see that they forsook the God that saved them. They were inappreciative of God's mercy. They forgot about the grand accounts of God's deliverance. What about crossing the Jordan? If you stood on the banks of Jordan and seen Jordan divide and cross over, or what about the Red Sea? To see that, and you actually saw that with your eyes, could you forget about that? Could you forget about the stories and the writings and the scriptures that told about all of that? You know, we just got so many places that we see even the Gentile Rahab. She had heard about all these things. She told these spies when they went into Jericho. We know about that. But here was God's own people that had forgot about those things. And they did what was evil in God's sight and causing His wrath to come upon them. You know, we know that God's people can apostatize. We know that they can turn away. The Israelites did. That proves it. We think about the Dark Ages. We think about things that events that happened way back when the Christian church come about, when people started to bring in instruments of music into the worship that God had ordained. You know, and what? Why did they do that? Because it was pleasing to the ears. They thought that sounded good, and they wanted to do something to please self instead of being concerned about what Jesus, the Son of God, has commanded us to sing and make melody in our hearts unto the Lord. And we need to take things serious. We need to look at what Scripture says and have a book, chapter, and verse to back up the things that we do. When we think about apostatizing, it means to abandon or to renunciate or to give up. And there's people that give up their faith for something because they like it. That's what the Israelites did. And we can learn from them. Maybe the church may be flourishing in our day and time and places. We see that. But, you know, what about the coming generation? What about the next generations? What about when the time when Russ's little boy Jake gets up to be an adult? Or what about his kids? Will there be a church here? Will there be a congregation of the Lord's people that still stand up on the truth of God's Word that don't turn to the right or the left? You know, will it be so? We have to train and teach and tell people the importance. You ever think about where's the church in Jerusalem today? What about Antioch? What about the churches in Ephesus and Galatia and various things? And what assurance do we have that the church will remain in this locality? What about two or three generations down the road? Will it be here? Unless somebody stands up for the truth of God and remains faithful to the teaching of God, it may be just like the denominations round about us or the nations round about. That's what happened to the Israelites. They just went away. The implications of Israel's apostasy. You know, it was the responsibility of preceding generations to remain. Is that not what God told Joshua? You do this and you be brave and you be courageous and you stand for this and that. You know, he was told that over and over. What about the priest under the old law? They was to read the law every 7 years. Let's look at the book of Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, and let's start in verse 9. Deuteronomy 31, verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the feast of tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place where he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy strangers, and that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Now, you know, whenever we think about reading this law every 7 years, and they read all of the law, you know, what would that amount to? If a boy heard that at 7, he would hear it again at 14. He would hear it again at 21, and so on. It goes on and on, and that these children, they would continue to hear. You know why I'm a Christian today? Because what my mama taught me when I was a boy. My mama come to learn the truth, and she instilled in me something that even when I was a boy, and we fell away from the Lord, we fell away when I was a teenager. But I always knew what was truth, and I always knew what was right, and I knew that all of the teaching that went on in this world wasn't right. When things contradict one another, it can't be right. We were studying about Calvinism this morning and how they say one thing, they put it, I call it double talk. They say it this way one time and say it another way. They say in the opposite, but people don't see that stuff. You know, God wants us to understand what is right. He says to be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. His will is revealed in Scripture. And we think about the elders of the people. That was the governing body from which the Sanhedrin was appointed, the ruling synagogues where the people came to worship and hear the law read. These should have demanded that the law be read and observed. Well, what about parents? It is parents' responsibility to teach children at home. Notice in Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. In Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, and notice in verses 9 and 10, it says to only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord God in Horeb, and when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, that they may teach their children. You know, it is so important. Notice in the sixth chapter, and notice about verse 5. And it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them on the post of thy house and on thy gates. You know, children have to be trained, and it takes a lot of training. You know, you can train an animal. You can train a dog. You can train a cat, a parakeet. You can train elephants, lions, tigers. But it takes work, work, work. And that's what it takes for kids. And you just don't say something casually every once in a while. You bring it to there. You put it between their eyes. You put it on the doorpost. And everywhere they go, they're confronted with it. And that's important. We recognize that. The people themselves, they should have had a desire for God's law. They owed allegiance to the only God. They, you know, all of these failed in their responsibilities. Every one of them failed and didn't keep the commandments of the Lord. And there arose another generation that knew not the Lord. Now let's think for the few minutes we got left about our responsibility under Christ. We're to be teachers of the Word. I want you to notice in the book of Acts. In Acts, the 20th chapter, and notice in verses 26, wherefore if I take you to record that this day I am pure from the blood of all men. Paul didn't keep back anything from the people. He was pure from the blood of all men. He told them what they needed to know. Even in the Galatian letter one time, he asked them, am I becoming your enemy because I tell you the truth? And a lot of times that makes enemies because people can't stand the truth in many cases. But the truth will make us free. Jesus talked about that. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That should be the most important thing that we have. Look in the 27th verse. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Just about every denominational church you want to look at, they teach some truth. They teach a little bit of truth here and a little bit of truth there, but they don't teach all of the truth. We have to teach all of the counsel of God. Revelation 22, 18 and 19, just to paraphrase, you don't add to it and you don't take away from it. You do what the Scripture says. You don't try to pervert it, as Galatians 1 talks about some that would try to pervert the gospel of Christ. We can't do that. You can't change it around. We have to be loyal. Look at 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and notice in verses 1 through 4, and he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. That is what happens in many cases. The truth is turned into a fable. And people just reject. They accept what they want. They reject the rest. You can't do that. You have to accept all the truth. You have to be above pleasing men. What you notice in the Galatian letter, and this is what Paul pointed out in Galatians 1 and in verse 10, as he wrote to the church at Galatia, he said, "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." We have to do what heaven demands. We have to teach all of the counsel of God. And who, the one that teaches you, is truly your friend. If a brother or sister comes up and tells you that you are wrong about something, they heard you say something or do something that's wrong, don't get mad with that individual. They are supposed to come to you in a spirit of meekness, like in Galatians 6 chapter talks about. You go to them in a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Thank that brother or sister for coming and telling you. Thank them, because they are concerned about your soul. Because you know what? We will meet God one day in judgment, and we'll give an answer for what we've done in the body, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Sometimes you hear Christians using God's name in vain. They just come out, "Oh God." You know, they are using God's name. And I've told brethren about that by theirself. I'm not going to confront somebody whenever they in front of somebody else and embarrass them. But I would get that brother or sister to decide and say, "You know what? You better watch how you use that word. Don't use God's name." Scripture said in the New Testament, "Hallowed be thy name." That means that his name is to be held in high esteem, with reverence, and with respect. And I tell you what, you can't see TV or on the computer or anything else, and it's thrown out there so much, we are enticed to do it. And we have to be. But the person that would come to you and say something the way you talk or the way you act, or they are your friend. They want you to know the truth about God's Word. Don't stand before God in judgment and say, "Lord, I didn't know." Because ignorance is not going to be any excuse. We have to look to the elders of the church. And we don't have elders here, but you notice in Acts, the 20th chapter, that the elders have a responsibility. There are brethren today that's saying, "Oh, we can't have elders today." Well, he needs the qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 and in Titus 1 that God has given. And people are teaching false things, you know. But you notice in Acts 20 and in verse 28, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his own blood." We have to watch out for different kinds of innovation that might come about. Look at verse 29. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." Paul, writing here and talking to the elders, if you go back to verse 17, it identifies, he called the elders of the church and he told them to watch out. Watch these warnings. And he was concerned. Do we have to be concerned today? Are there people that will arise from among this own flock, speak perverse things? It happened in that day. It can happen in this day. And you have to have the qualified men. In this case, it was the elders that met the qualification, and that was their responsibility to do that. But you know, Christian parents, they have to teach their children. Look at the Ephesian letter. And notice in Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and we want to look at verse 4. And notice here, he says in verse 4, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." So parents have that responsibility to teach your children. To nurture means to bring up, to care for, to take care of, to look after, to raise and support. And they need that spiritually upbringing also. It's pretty sad that some children, all they may hear about the church is criticism. And that is a bad thing when children hear criticism about the church. If you have something against a brother or sister, go to that brother or sister, please. Don't talk about it in front of your kids. Don't talk about it to other people. Go to that individual like the Lord commands us to do and work out that problem as the Lord would have it worked out. And you know, Christians as a whole, we have the admonition to be steadfast. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We need to demand truth. We need to shun evil in all things that might bring about some kind of apostasy. Our chief desire is to please God above self and above others. In the conclusion, how God's law to be observed. You know, back in the book of Deuteronomy 4 and in verse 2, they had their instructions. And he told them here, "Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandment of the Lord your God which I command you." When we get into New Testament scripture, we look at 1 Corinthians and in the 4th chapter and in verse 6. Notice what Paul writes to the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians and chapter 4 and in verse 6. And he tells them, "And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that ye might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another." We're not to think in men above that which is written. Just don't do it. Demand a book, chapter, and verse for everything that we do. The challenge of our responsibility today and the coming generations is the knowledge of God's way, the work of His people, and everybody has to accept their responsibility. Everyone in here that is a Christian are members one of another. There is one body, but there's many members. And let each of us take our responsibility to try to serve God, to try to do His will. If you're here today and not a Christian, you need to believe in Jesus as the Son of God, be willing to repent of your sins, confess His name before men, be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of sins, and the Lord will add you to His church. There serve Him faithfully. Meet with other Christians, worship together, serve God all the days of your life, and we can have that home in heaven that Jesus has promised. So if you're subject to the invitation, won't you come, sit on one of the front seats as together we stand and sing.